And welcome back to this post-Thanksgiving broadcast. We've got Farmer Greg in the middle of a conversation about starting our own food forest. And Greg's vision has always been to help Arizona's metropolitan areas become their own sustainable food forest in the backyard. A lot of our food is imports, trucks, and trains, and we're out here in the middle of a very dry desert, very dry climate. You know, what happens if that supply chain breaks down? Well, we've got to be able to feed ourselves, and that's always been your vision. And part of what we do here Saturday's broadcast is help educate people how to grow their own.
Yeah. Way back in 1991, while that seems like three lifetimes ago, I did a course and they had me create my vision for my life. And, you know, in the eighth grade in 1974, I wrote a paper on how we were overfishing the oceans. So I've known for a very long time that there's something up here that needs to be addressed. So back to 1991, I created myself to be the person on the planet responsible for transforming our global food system. Now, am I going to do it? Well, who knows? But it gets me up every morning. And as a subset of that, what I do is I look to see how we can create Phoenix into a food secure place. And what that means to me is that we're growing all, and I know that's a big word in this sentence, all of our own food here in the Phoenix metropolitan area. And I believe it's possible because upwards of 80% of what you buy in the grocery store will grow here in Phoenix.
And then with aquaponics and with indoor, you know, and outdoor and greenhouses, yep, we can create a lot of additional microclimates that will grow those things that otherwise wouldn't grow in our climate. So it's part of what we do here at the broadcast, and hope it encourages you to get started or investigating, and at least, you know, start small. That's a big thing. And I know I'm jumping ahead in one of your notes. It's so easy to get started and you get the more. Oh, add this, yep. Oh, add that. And you're shopping at the nursery and, you know, one plant turns into 50 plants. It's very easy to get real excited and going hard, and then you way outpace yourself and you burn yourself out.
Yeah, and I have that conversation with people all the time. Start small, pick one or two projects, be successful with those projects, and, you know, and then move on from there rather than trying to tackle the whole thing at the same time.
And Greg, what's the easiest thing you can start with to grow?
You know me so well. The easiest thing to grow and the most expensive thing to buy, and you can grow these on a sunny windowsill, are herbs. Basil, cilantro, parsley, oregano. These can all be grown on a sunny windowsill if that's all you have.
And then that's less refrigerator space you have to worry about, and it's always fresh. You don't have to worry about it going bad.
Right. Yeah, we've been eating, for the past 6 months, we have a few tomato plants. They struggle in the summertime here, but we have an endless supply of basil here at the urban farm. You know, with the cold weather now, it's kind of starting to die back. But anytime I wanted a tomato mozzarella salad, I just went out to the yard and picked fistfuls of basil.
And at the urban farm, this isn't all in the backyard or all in the front yard. I mean, everything outside, well, and inside the home, as you mentioned, growing herbs. But from your front yard to your backyard, it's all designed to work together.
It is. And interestingly enough, we grow most of our vegetables in the front yard. You know, starting at the front curb, I have a hedgerow of citrus trees. Did you know in the city, you can't put a fence higher than 3 feet in front of your house in most municipalities? But you can grow a hedgerow of plants that will give you a nice fence. So I have a nice privacy fence. So it's the street, my berm, and a row of 14 citrus trees. And that separates me from the street. So it gives me privacy. And right then the next thing is a 10-foot wide garden bed that we grow all kinds of things in every year. And that bed's been activated for about 25 years now.
And when you're talking about this row of citrus trees, you keep them trimmed more like shrubs, though. These aren't, just to give everyone a perspective, we're not talking, you'd mentioned the first broadcast, the homeowner that cut down these huge, gigantic 80-year-old grapefruit trees. Right. These are managed and kept
like a bush.
Like a bush.
Yeah, like a bush, absolutely. In fact, we really encourage in all of our education around fruit trees that we keep trees small and bush-like. Peaches, apricots, apples, plums, citrus, mulberries, keep them all smaller and manageable because then they're easier to harvest. And, you know, a peach at the top of a 25-foot tall peach tree is bird food here in the valley.
You're not going to get it before that bird does. That is the truth.
Exactly. So one, you know, one management technique to, you know, to grow a lot of fruit in our yards, and I have about 70 fruit trees here on my 12,000 square feet. Yes, I said 70 trees, 70 fruit trees. One way we manage that is in hedgerows and keeping them small.
And do you ever get into a situation where you're planting the trees too close and you've got the roots competing underground, or is that just increase the responsibility to make sure you've got plenty of healthy soil?
Yeah, more number two. I have experimented, and people have planted fruit trees 18 inches apart. And that then at Dave Wilson Nursery, they call that planting multiple trees in one hole. And really what you do is you do a triangle, you dig a hole that's a triangle, and the trees are 18 inches apart, one on each corner.
Okay, well, hang on, this is really interesting, and I think we're going to need a little bit more time to articulate it. We got to hit bottom of the hour news break. More at Rosie on the House here right after this.